Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show.
Hello, all of our faithful listeners. This is El Rey here to tell you about Music House. Music House is a store by musicians for musicians, focused on the day-to-day needs of beginners to professionals alike. Music House helps you bring the music home. Whether you need supplies for band class, strings or sticks for a gig, acoustic treatment for your home studio, or even recording specialties, we are stocked and experienced to help you find a solution. Music House is located in Northwest Corpus Christi off Highway 77. Easy access to South Texas musicians. Follow us at Music House CC on your favorite social media platform or visit us at musichousecc.com for more info. And that's M-U-S-H-A-U-S.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, hoy, everyone.
It's
the end is near.
The end is nigh, but
it's still so far. So close yet so far.
I know. We got to go through Wednesday.
I know, man.
It's been years since I had to work on my birthday.
That's true. Now that's true. Yeah. We're always off on your birthday.
Yeah. Wow. So my wife was like, "What?" I know. She wasn't too happy about that either.
Yeah. Well, they decided to change everything on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to listen to the insufferable gloating of all the other teachers I know in other districts that are done today.
We'll have to key their cars later.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But alas, it's not that far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A few more days and we'll get to take 2.5 weeks off ourselves.
No, that was a well-timed little bonus check they gave us.
I know. I'm very appreciative of that.
Well, that was to balance out the outrageous having to go for an extra 3 days.
I know. Hey, but at least they're nice enough to do that again in the spring.
Yes. So, all right. We'll take it.
Fair play. Alas, we're not here to talk about work.
No.
We are here to talk about The Simpsons. And we left off on episode 9 of season 5, which originally aired December 9th of 1993. And this is titled The Last Temptation of Homer.
Yes.
Seems very foreboding.
Yes. I'm guessing it was Last Temptation of Christ was big at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've seen. So, was it Willem Dafoe, right?
Or something like that? Caviezel?
No, that's Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ. That is true. Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Dafoe, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So, alas, pop culture reference of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have something we haven't had in a while.
An actual chalkboard gag.
Yes. We have Bart in detention writing, "All work and no play makes Bart a dull boy." Which, of course, is a reference to The Shining.
The Shining.
Yes. The Shining, yeah. You want to get sued? Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that.
Yes, it's The Shining. Of course we know it's The Shining. But in the Simpsons universe, it's The Shining.
Because Willie doesn't want you to get sued.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
And then, of course, we get to our couch gag. Family runs into the living room, but it is not the living room, really. We see a whole set.
Yes.
They apparently are on the stage of the Late Show with David Letterman.
Yes. Yes. We don't know this at first until he turns his chair around, and there's no mistaking David Letterman.
Yes, even in cartoon.
Yep.
Yes, and of course, he, like, you know, that crazy smile with the gap tooth and all that stuff. Yeah.
So it's a good start.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's a good start. Mm-hmm. Can't complain about that. Mm-hmm. And we open up this time at Springfield Elementary. And Bart and Milhouse have decided to start the day with some shenanigans.
Yes, with a prank.
Yep.
And I do have to say I respect this prank.
It is quite ingenious.
Yes, it is.
So apparently Bart and Milhouse have sort of taken out all of the parking lines. Mm-hmm. You know, they space out the parking for everybody. And we see Bart with a can of white paint and a paintbrush. And he says, "The beauty of it is each parking space is a mere 1 foot narrower, indistinguishable to the human eye. But therein lies the game."
And of course, Milhouse says, "I fear to watch, yet I cannot turn away."
So dramatic.
Yes. So, yes, every parking space is going to be 1 foot smaller.
So then he says, "Watch." And then Milhouse watches, right? And we see Principal Skinner. We see Edna Krabappel. We see, Mr. Largo, the music teacher.
Yes, he's there. Miss Hoover's
there. All of the teachers that we never, ever see all show up. They all, coincidentally, they're pulling up at the same time. Mm-hmm. Does that ever happen?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I mean, there's the crowd that gets there right on time, and there's the crowd that gets there early. Yep. But yeah.
So all these people pulling at the same time, the parking spaces are narrower. You know, chaos is going
to
ensue.
Yes. So they all try to get out, and no one can open their door. Skinner tries to open his door, and he's upset. He can't open it. He says, "Blast it, woman. You parked too close. Move your car."
And then Miss Krabappel goes, "I'm in the lines. You got a problem? Go tell your mama."
And Skinner replies, "Oh, don't worry. She'll hear about this." Oh, my God.
I guess he didn't register that as an insult.
No.
He's calling him a mom, calling him a mama's boy. And he's, "That's right. I'm definitely going to tell my mom."
Yes. So all the teachers are now panicking that they can't get out. You hear them yelling, "I'm trapped." You even hear someone say, "I can't breathe." I was like, oh my goodness. And
of course, Bart and Milhouse are laughing their little asses off.
Yes, they are. They're very, very happy with this. Mm-hmm.
So eventually, the school begins, and we're in Miss Krabappel's classroom. And she says, "Class, I know there's no way to prove who actually did this. And in our American democracy, everyone is innocent until proven guilty."
And Bart says, "God bless America."
But then Miss Krabappel goes, "But my classroom is not a democracy. Ha! For the rest of the year, Bart Simpson will be the first student called on for every question."
And I have to admit that I say that a lot in my classroom every year.
You're going to call somebody first?
No, that this is not a democracy.
Oh, yeah. I always break out the classic Mean Girls line. No, it's not Mean Girls. It's that other cheerleader movie with Kristen Dunst.
Oh, I forget the name of that. Bring It On.
Bring It On.
There you go.
This is not a democracy. It's a cheerocracy. Anyway.
And I love, actually, as a history teacher, I get a good line out of that. As a U.S. history teacher, I get to say, "Remember, we are here to learn about democracy, not to practice it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Back in the day when they would actually trust me to teach government, I would say something similar.
So, yes, Bart's going to be first person called for every question. Mm-hmm. She says, "Well, let's get started." And she turns to the board. And she says, "Can someone pronounce this word?" And the word is, of course, photosynthesis. It's on the blackboard.
And she's looking around the classroom for a victim, right? And, of course, we see Martin with his hand high up in the air. He's like, But then, of course, she says, calls on Bart.
Yes. Yes, and Bart doesn't know what's going on. He's, and Martin's starting to make noises. And he's there, you know, "Oh, pick me, teacher. I'm ever so smart."
And then Bart's still like,
And Martin can't take it anymore. Yeah. He screams out, "It's photosynthesis. Damn your feeble brain."
And Bart's like, "But I couldn't read it. The letters are all blurry."
And then Miss K comes in and says, "Is it possible all your misbehavior and miserable grades have been caused by a simple vision disorder?"
And then Bart goes, "You mean it's not my noggin, it's my peepas? Well, that's just lovely."
Yeah, I don't know why he did that, but
yeah.
There you go. And so we cut away from the school, and we are now back at the nuclear power plant. And there is a man in a radiation suit in a sealed-off room handling some nuclear waste, right? And Homer's there, Lenny's there, Carl's there, right?
And so we also see Charlie.
Charlie's there too.
In case you don't know who Charlie is, he looks like he's kind of ginger.
Yeah.
He's got glasses, and he's always wearing one of those...
The hard hat.
The hard hats,
yeah. So we see Charlie every now and then.
Yeah.
And so Homer says, "Watch this, guys." And he's got a little mechanical arm, and he uses it to pinch the guy handling the waste on his ass. Uh-huh. And he drops the container of waste on the ground, and this gas comes up. It's filling the room, and he runs to the window trying to, you know, get out.
You know, he's pleading for help.
Yep. And Lenny just says, "Uh-oh, he's done for."
And Carl's like, don't worry. The safety glass will protect us. He's not worried about the guy inside. It'll protect us.
And as he says that, the gas leaks through. And you just hear Lenny, "Run! We'll hide at my house." And they run, but they crash into a wall.
Yeah, and Charlie's like feeling up what's supposed to be an exit. And he says, "Hey, this emergency exit is painted on."
Yeah, and Carl's like, "There's no way out. We're doomed! We're doomed!" And they huddle up together.
And we see this cloud of green gas about to circle them. Then we open up at the next scene immediately.
And it's Charlie, but he's in Mr. Burns' office.
Yep. He's like, "Well, sir, I won't bore you with the details of our miraculous escape. I want to hear that." He says, "But we desperately need a real emergency exit."
Mr. Burns says, "Why, that's a fabulous idea. Anything else you'd like? How about real lead in the radiation shields? Urinal cakes, maybe?"
By the way, you figure real lead would be standard.
Yeah, I know.
In a nuclear power plant.
Who makes them without real lead?
I have no idea. The whole urinal cakes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. But still, I won't bore you with the details of our miraculous escape.
That would not be a boring story at all, Charlie. You need to tell it.
My goodness.
So Mr. Burns hands Mr. Smithers a pad, and he tells him to throw it at Charlie. And he does, and he smacks him in the face. But then Mr. Burns, this infamous red button, it's usually to open up the trap door underneath them. But this one kind of pulled out one of those pneumatic tubes at that you would see at the bank. Mm-hmm. Where it would take your little deposit thing
still
away.
Still use those. They're awesome.
Right? But it was a full human-sized tube.
Yes. And it goes over Charlie, and up he goes, out of sight. Just sucks him in. And Smithers says, "Where does that tube go?" Oh, yeah, Smithers. I'm sorry. Burns asked Smithers, right? "Where does the tube go?"
And Smithers says, "I don't know. It was here when we moved in." But then we find out where it went.
Yes, Charlie drops down.
And he appears to be in like a hookah bar or something.
Yes.
Like that in the Middle East. And
there's all these men around him, and they're saying, "Dance! Dance!" He lands on a table.
And then he starts to dance.
Yeah.
Much like a nerd. Who am I to judge? I can't dance either. But let's just say Charlie's not too light on his feet. And as soon as he starts to dance,
the men start cheering. Well, so we were talking about this before we started the episode.
Foreshadowing.
Here. Yeah, a little foreshadowing here. I mean, I know it's not a totally original idea, but remember in Futurama, that's how everybody's going to travel.
That's the mass transit system.
Yeah, the tubes. So. Uh-huh. There you go. Could be a seed of an idea a long time ago.
Well, same writers.
Yep, same writers. So one day we'll do a Futurama podcast.
Yes, we will.
And so we go back at the power plant, and Burns and Smithers are talking now about what they're going to do. Right? And Smithers tells him, "Sir, we'll need a new dangerous emission supervisor."
And then Burns goes, "Yes, well, find someone cheap. It's been a very lean year for us." And then they kind of look at each other in the eye, and they have this little moment, and they both yell at the same time, "Money fight!"
And they start throwing stacks of cash at each other. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, they look like they were having a good time.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really good time. Too bad we don't have that
to
much
have
money.
That kind of money to have a money fight, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And so... Smithers finds the man for the job, right? And Burns is there watching him work.
And we see this Eastern European looking guy, and he's like looking at the buttons in front of him. He's about to push one, then he moves his finger away. He's going to push another one. And then Mr. Burns goes, "Excellent, Zootroy. Work hard, and each day you'll get a shiny penny."
My goodness. And as he says that, some people in bodysuits, black bodysuits, just come through the roof on ropes, very Mission Impossible. And a man says, "Agent Wesson, Department of Labor, this man is an illegal alien."
Then Burns goes, "That's preposterous. Zootroy here is as American as apple pie."
And just as he says that, Zootroy says, "Tok Nick Rob, Nub, Mr. Boons."
And then a woman goes, "This plant violates every labor law in the book. We found a missing Brazilian soccer team working in your reactor core."
Burns defends himself and says, "That plane crashed on my property."
By the way, before we get any further, I was talking to El Rey about this before we started the show. This was an actual thing. HP, Hewlett-Packard, went around and they hired a bunch of Eastern European coders.
Basically everybody after the Soviet Union fell.
Yep. And apparently they were paying them like slave-type wages, and they were living in not that great conditions. And of course, Hewlett-Packard didn't have a problem with this program until the news got a wind of it. And then they shuttered it immediately the next day.
I bet. Oh, my goodness.
So just in case you guys think this isn't happening.
Oh, it happens.
It happens, guys. It happens.
So that man still says, "Look, Mr. Burns, we want to see some changes. For starters, you can reverse your sexist employment policies and hire at least one woman."
And Burns goes, "All right. I'll bring in a woman, but I still stand behind my hiring practices."
And as he says that, we see a quacking duck with a hard hat pulling a wagon. And Mr. Burns yells at him, "Get back to work, Stuart!"
Well, at least he remembers the duck's name.
Yeah.
Now he can only remember Homer's name.
Yes.
That's the eternal struggle. So, next thing we know, we're with Marge and Bart, and they're at Dr. Hibbert's office. But this is at the during the whole birth of the whole HMOs.
Yeah.
Right? Health management organizations or something they're called. But Dr. Hibbert called his Hibbert money-making organization.
Yes. Because now he will be able to provide every medical service they need under one roof. Mm-hmm. And he says, "You do have insurance, don't you?" And he's checking and he starts pressing a button. And we see a very similar glass tube come out of the ceiling right over Marge's hair.
Waiting to suck her up, just like we saw with Mr. Burns.
Yeah. But Marge says, "Yes." And so as she says that, the tube disappears.
Uh-huh. And Dr. Hibbert laughs and says they need to start with the optometrist.
Mm-hmm. And so the optometrist tells Marge, "Your son has a temporary condition called lazy eye, where one eye is weaker than the other, and that he will have to wear glasses for 2 weeks." And she gives him these horn-rimmed, nerdy-looking glasses.
Extremely thick, you know. And Bart's like, "Oh."
Yes. And the optometrist says, "Man, I came big in, wore a pair just like him." Which was a very important person at the time.
Yeah, but I don't think you would consider him very stylish.
No. Not at all. No.
So then the optometrist notices that Bart's scalp is a little dry, and he sends him over to see the dermatologist.
And the dermatologist has this goop in his hand, and he puts it on Bart's head. He says, "Rub a palmful of this medicated salve into your scalp every half hour. Keep him away from open flames and pregnant women."
You know,
I do not want that on my head.
But if that doctor was Mexican, you'd give him some Vicks.
Yeah. You gotta put Vicks.
You gotta put Vicks. It cures everything.
And buy him a 7-Up on the way home.
Anyway, so next thing we know, Bart is over at the orthopedic doctor. And he's putting some, I don't know how you describe these shoes. They kind of look like
they look like platforms.
Platforms.
Like, yeah.
Wooden platform shoes or something like that.
Apparently, it's like those shoes that they give people that have like one leg shorter than the other.
Oh.
But yeah. Two of them?
Yeah. And apparently, Bart has fallen arches. And these shoes are designed to treat him. Mm-hmm. But he then goes and he sees another doctor.
Yes, because the doctor thinks that Bart's throat's a little dry. And she sprays it with something. Bart coughs. And then he talks. And his whole demeanor changes. He says, "Thanks, nice lady. My voice is crazy with the spraying already. I feel so much better." Like a very Jerry Lewis kind of thing. And then he says, "Thank you, Mr. Medical Type Science Person," or whatever he says.
Yeah.
He sounds bad.
Yes, he does. I mean, it's hard to believe that that's Bart, but it is.
Yes, it is.
Next thing we know, Lenny, Carl, and Homer, they've all gotten word that they're going to have to hire a woman.
Yes, and Lenny's upset. Mm-hmm. He says, "Oh, if they have a woman, we won't be able to spit on the floor."
And then Carl goes, "And we won't be able to take our pants off when it gets really hot."
And then Homer says, "And we won't be able to pee in the drinking fountain."
Then Lenny and Carl both look at each other.
And he's, if we wanted to. Not that I ever did.
Homer just digs himself into a hole there, I think.
And so then Smithers walks in with a very attractive woman. And she says, "Gentlemen, I'd like you to meet your new coworker, Mindy Simmons. I think she has a degree in engineering or something."
And then Mindy goes, "Hi, how's it going?"
And Lenny, "Oh, pleased to meet you."
Carl's like, "Yeah, ditto."
And Homer's about to say hi, but all of a sudden, when he looks at her, he has a vision of her naked, right? Her private parts are covered, of course, and she's standing in a giant open clam.
Kind of like a Venus de Milo thing.
Yeah.
She's got her hands strategically positioned.
Yes.
Her hair is too.
Yeah, her hair is positioned.
Then
also,
Lenny and Carl
have. She moves her hands, right? But as she does, Lenny and Carl fly in as little Cupids.
Yep. And then Cupid Lenny goes, "Homer, what's the matter?"
Yeah, and then Carl says, "Ain't you ever seen a naked chicken riding a clam before?"
And then Homer's like, "Gotta go!" And he runs out the door. And when he climbs in his car, he's like, "What the hell was that?"
And then he says, "I probably shouldn't have eaten that packet of powdered gravy I found in the parking lot."
That's the second gross thing that he's done in this episode.
Yeah, already. That is disgusting.
And that's not the last.
No, it's not.
Sadly, it's not the last gross thing Homer's going to do. So, we go back to school, though.
Yes.
And we see Bart with his new glasses, his medicated hair, his clunky shoes.
Yes, and Sherry and Terry are there. They go, "Nice glasses, four eyes." They start laughing at him.
And then Nelson goes, "Yeah, nice shoes, 2 feet. Yeah."
And even Martin jumps in and says, "Your appearance is comical to me."
Bart is hearing all these things. He can't believe what's happening. And he turns to look at Milhouse.
And this is my favorite scene of the episode.
And he sees his reflection in Milhouse's glasses. And he goes, "I'm a nerd."
But of course, Milhouse sees his reflection in Bart glasses and says, "So am I."
Apparently, Milhouse has no access to mirrors in everyday life. Because if he did, he would have been able to identify himself as a nerd a long time ago.
We're in season 5 and Milhouse has barely recognized that he is a nerd.
Yeah. Guys, embrace your nerd. Embrace it.
Yeah, you gotta do it. And so we cut back to the power plant and Homer's leaving for the day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Yep, another day, another box of stolen pens."
He throws them in the car. And as he's climbing in, Mindy drives by. Mm-hmm. He says, "Have a good night, Homer."
Yes, and she's on a motorcycle.
Yes, she is.
Yes, and Homer says, "Oh, you too." She drives off. Right? And Homer gets into his car and he's like, "Okay, no goosebumps, no hallucinations. The last time was just a fluke." And he relaxes.
But he doesn't notice that he's driving in reverse out of the parking lot down the highway. And he's causing accidents left and right. And then he even drives into a trout hatchery. For those of you who don't know, that's where they would grow trouts before they throw them in the lake. Mm-hmm. Or sell them to your store.
Exactly.
So he lands in the middle of the trout pool, and his car starts to sink under.
And then all these little trout appear, and they start making fun of him, saying, "Homer loves Mindy! Homer loves Mindy!"
And then we see little Cupid Carl pop up again. He says, "Homer, you're hallucinating again."
And then little Cupid Lenny flies in and says, "Not a good sign."
So, we've seen Marge be tempted before, and now we're seeing Homer being tempted.
Yes, we are.
All right, so we're back at the power plant, and we see Homer with Carl and Lenny. And Homer's like, "So, what do you guys think of Mindy?"
And real quick, Carl's like, "Seems okay. Anybody else see the game last night?" "Not interested at all."
"Not at all." And then Homer goes, "Yeah, that Mindy seems real nice."
Yeah. And then Lenny says, "Homer, what's with you? You're talking during a coffee break."
And then Carl, this is, of course, Homer isn't doing this right now. Mm-hmm. But this is the third example of how disgusting Homer can be. Mm-hmm. Because Carl goes, "Yeah. You usually take the box of donuts into the bathroom."
And there's a pause. And Homer just says, "Mindy has a motorcycle."
So we can see here, Homer is not listening to them at all. Mm-hmm. He is really, really obsessed with Mindy.
Yes, he is.
Mindy's quite a looker, though.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And so we cut back to Springfield Elementary. Mm-hmm. And Bart is not having this nerd vibe anymore. He tries to prove to everyone that he is not a nerd. So he yells at everybody, "Hey everyone, I'm still the same person I always was." And he grabs a skateboard and he starts going down the hall. But it's a short ride because with those nasty shoes that he has,
he can't get his balance.
No, he just falls over and wipes out.
Yeah, and when he slams into the locker, a locker opens up and books fall all over him, and an advanced calculus or algebra book falls on his face.
And then Jimbo sees the book and says, "Hey, he's learning on his own."
and they pummel him. That's the nicest way I can put it. They just pummel him.
They do. Mm-hmm. And so we cut away while Bart's getting beat up. Mm-hmm. And we are at Moe's Tavern because Homer is seeking advice. And he tells Moe, "I need your advice."
And Moe's like, "Yeah."
He's like, "See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo."
I was like, "That's the worst name I've ever heard."
And a man is crying, and then he leaves. And Barty says, "Hey, Joey Jojo."
So I guess, what are the odds? What are the odds?
Yeah. And so Homer just says, "Okay, I'm attracted to another woman. What am I going to do?"
And Barney goes, "Your infatuation is based on a physical attraction. Talk to the woman and you'll realize you have nothing in common."
And Homer's like, "Barney, that is so insightful. How did you come up with that?"
Of course, there has to be a reason for this, right? Because Barney isn't that helpful.
No.
Ever. Not. And he goes, "It was on one of these bar napkins."
Oh my goodness. Well, someone was insightful.
Yeah.
And so Homer's like going to take this advice. So the next day at work, we're at the power plant, and he goes looking for Mindy, and she's there eating donuts at her station. And he's very nervous. He's tapping his fingers together and everything. Uh-huh. And Homer goes up to him. He's like, "So let's have a conversation. I think we'll find we have very little in common."
And Mindy's like, "Can't talk, eating."
And then Homer gasps. He goes, "Oh, hey, my favorite raspberry swirl with the double glaze."
And Mindy goes, "Double glaze."
Just like Homer. And Homer goes, okay, so we have one thing in common. But you know what I hate? Drinking beer and watching TV.
And then Mindy goes, "Oh, not me. That's my idea of heaven."
And Homer goes, "Oh, me too."
And Minnie's, "Really? I can see where I'm going to love working with you. Well, I got to go. I want to sneak in a quick nap before lunch."
And Homer's just, "Foul temptress. I bet she thinks Ziggy's gotten too preachy too." Which, we have to address this.
Yeah, L. Ray had no idea who Ziggy was.
I knew of Ziggy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Right. So I had to point out to him. He was a comic strip.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that was a comic strip that you said was old when you were young, too.
When I was a kid, it was already around for years.
That's crazy.
And years.
Oh, well.
So, but yeah. What do you think of Homer here? Foul Temptress.
Foul Temptress, yeah.
Just for being so much like him.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Crazy. And so Homer goes to the elevator, and he pushes the button. He's like, whew, I made it the whole day without seeing her again. And the elevator gets there. Homer gets in, and he notices that he's in there with Mindy. Very close, and he goes, hello!
By the way, how small is this elevator?
I know, right? It's tiny.
It's like a one-person elevator, but both of them are crammed in there.
Yeah.
And Mindy's like, well, I guess we're going to be going down together. Getting off together.
That's okay. I'll just push the button for the stimulator. Elevator.
So I guess she has feelings, too.
Yes.
Homer closes his eyes, and he has this little mantra.
And then we have a classic scene of The Simpsons. Mm-hmm.
And Homer's like, think unsexy thoughts. Think unsexy thoughts. Think unsexy thoughts.
And he imagines the gruesome twosome, Patty and Selma, in the bathroom together, shaving their legs. And he goes, oh, that's unsexy.
And then he pictures Barney in a red polka dot bikini.
And Barney's doing the dancing, doing that.
Yeah, I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes, and Homer goes, ew. But at the end of that, Barney morphs into Mindy and blows him a kiss.
Yes, and yes. Mindy looks a lot better in that bikini than Barney did.
Yes.
And Homer, he is in too deep right
yes.
now.
Yes, he snaps out of it, but then he notices that Mindy is whispering to herself, think on sexy thoughts, think on sexy thoughts.
And then, Homer's like, I can't take this anymore. He says, well, this is my stop. And he presses the emergency stop button. He forces a door open.
And then he steps out. Apparently this elevator is on the side of the smokestacks of the power plant.
Uh-huh.
And he just goes, ah, see you tomorrow! As he's falling down.
Oh, my God. The things Homer does to avoid trouble.
I know, right?
So he says, ah. He gets in his car, drives home. He's like, ah, home to my loving family. What more could a man ask for, right? And he opens the door to his house. And he's greeted
by a very sick Marge. Mm-hmm. She's still in her gown. She's blowing her nose. She looks terrible. And she says, hi, Homer. Don't kiss me. I'm all stuffed up.
And Homer's like, ew.
And then Bart comes in. Hi, Dad.
And then Homer's like all happy. Hi, son. How are you? And he pats him on his head. Mm-hmm. And he gets all of that salve on his hand.
Yeah.
He's like, ew.
And then Lisa comes in the room. She says, Dad, look. I made fish sticks. They're burned on the outside, but they're frozen on the inside. So it bounces out.
And Homer's like, yeah, good.
And then we see Grandpa running through the room, chasing Santa's little helper, and says, that raccoon stole my lamb chop. Senior moment.
Yes, but this is not what Homer wanted to come home to.
No, it's the worst example of everyone.
Yes. He wanted to get home, see Marge,
yes,
hug
kids,
and kiss her, maybe snuggle later, yep, to take Mindy off his mind, play with his kids. But everything seems to be falling apart at Casa de Simpson right now.
And then his senile father's running through the living room.
So Homer calls Marge over to the couch. He's like, let's have a little quality time together. Just you and me.
And Marge is like, oh, that's sweet, right? Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, look, I went to the mall and got one of those t-shirts where they put your picture on it. Except they gave me $2 off because mine got smeared. And she shows it to him, and it's half of Marge's normal face, and the rest is all stretched out.
Yeah. So it's not a...
She looks gross on that t-shirt.
I mean, she doesn't look good right now because she's so sick, mm-hmm, and this shirt just makes it look worse.
Yeah. And then Homer just says, fine. Hey, we haven't watched TV in a while. And he turns it on.
And then we see Kent Brockman says, tonight, I on Springfield takes a look at the secret affairs of Kennedy, Eisenhower, Bush, and Clinton. did fooling around on their wives make them great? We'll find out next when we play Hail to the Cheat.
And Homer's like, oh, and it changes the channel. And there's a narrator on the next channel. It's a nature show. It says, the Burmese melonfly has over 1,000 sex partners and suffers virtually no guilt. And Homer, oh, and he changes the channel again.
And we see a bunch of nearly naked women.
Yes.
Right? Because even their bikinis are really, really small, right?
Yes.
So we just say nearly naked women here. And they're working up a sweat at the gym.
Yeah.
And they keep saying, just do it.
And Homer goes, ah! And he runs out of the room.
And then a woman goes, examine your scalp for ringworm.
Yes. Okay. This, I love the little caption here, though. This is from the National Ringworm Association. In parentheses, the other NRA.
But why were they at the gym? Well, that's where you get most of your ringworm,
that's
guys.
True.
That is where you get most of your ringworm.
Staff and all kinds of weird stuff.
But you figured they would have had more clues on because they didn't want to get ringworm anywhere on their body.
Yeah, I don't know.
So mixed message there. Mixed message.
So apparently Homer ran to a payphone because he is so desperate that he is going to call a marriage counseling hotline.
Of course, he can't do this at home.
No, he can't do it at home.
At work? No, he couldn't do this at work either.
Not good either. And so Homer calls. He says, hello, hotline. I'm very tempted by another woman.
And then we, on the other end of the line, we see our old friend, Ned Flanders. And he goes, Homer Simpson, that's a dilly of a pickle. Let's conference you with Marge, huh?
Oh, my. And Homer yells and tries to get away, but he knocks over the phone booth. And as he falls down, his spirit leaves his body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then
there's another spirit.
Yeah.
And Homer says, who are you?
And then we see this rather elegant-looking figure. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Homer, I'm your guardian angel. I've assumed the form of someone you'd recognize and revere. Sir Isaac Newton.
Or is it Sir Isaac who?
And Newton goes, oh, very well. And he shakes himself and he transforms into...
And Homer goes, oh, Colonel Klink, did you ever get my letters?
Now, for those of you who don't know...
Yes, and shame on you if you don't know.
Colonel Klink is a character on Hogan's Heroes.
Yes.
By the way, that whole thing was... they were trapped by Nazis.
Yeah.
And they were trying to figure
escape
out how to
the
escape.
Whole time, yeah. And so the Colonel Klink says, I'm not actually Colonel Klink. I'm just assuming his form.
Homer goes, hee hee. Did you know Hogan had tunnels all over your camp?
Klink says, I'm not here to discuss the show. My job is to show you how miserable life would be if you married Mindy instead of Marge. And he takes Homer's hand and they fly into the air.
And then Homer goes, ooh, I live in a big mansion?
Yes, they show a big mansion. And Homer and Mindy are playing tennis. And Mindy says, I'm so happy, darling.
And Homer's like, I as well. Are you happy, Jeeves?
And the butler says, yes, sir, quite.
And then Homer goes, then we're all happy.
It's so weird. So Klink says, let's get out of here. And he says, sure, life is good for you, but what about Marge? And as he says that, they are flying over the White House.
And then Homer's like, Marge lives here?
And you hear a voice say, Madam President, your approval rating is soaring.
And we look at Marge, he goes,
and then Klink says, this dream is over. And Homer is dropped back into his body in the phone booth.
And of course, now Homer is left with how do I get out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's struggling to free himself.
You see an old friend.
Lionel Hutz.
Walks up to the tipped over phone booth and he says, hey, you, get out of my office. Oh my goodness.
So the other offices we've seen them, do you think they're like rent
by
the week
or something? He lost it or something, man. And so we cut back to the elementary school, and the bullies are taunting Bart, right?
And we even see one of the Hicks making fun of Bart. Yeah. That's how nerdy he looks.
You're goofy looking, yeah. That's so bad.
And the bullies start to beat up Bart again, but throughout that melee, he manages to sneak away, mm-hmm. and he starts running down the hallway.
Yes. But as he's running, an arm just pops out of a locker and pulls him inside. And Martin lights a match. And Bart's like, what the hell?
And Martin kind of like shushes him and leads him down the hall into a room full of nerds.
Yeah, so there's kids that are playing chess, writing down math equations and stuff. And one's building a Star Trek ship. That's a nerd. No.
And Bart's like, what is this place?
And one of the nerds says, the refuge of the damned.
And Martin goes, a place where we can work on our extra credit assignments without fear of reprisal.
Then we get to your favorite
part. Yes, it's my favorite part of the whole thing. We see another little nerd comes and says, come, you must be tired from the chase. Oliver, bring our friend a hard-boiled egg and some prune juice.
Oh my goodness.
We were talking about this.
That is disgusting.
That little hidey hole that they have must smell like a bear's ass.
Yeah, that's going to be horrible.
Yeah, hard-boiled eggs and prune juice. Oh, my God.
But anyway, Martin's excited about this, and he says, finally, Bart is one of us.
And then everybody looks at each other, and they all go, Excelsior!
Nerds.
Yes, yes. By the way, guys, that was just perfectly timed.
Yes, that was awesome.
Take one.
Take one. I'm proud of that one.
Yes.
And so we cut back to the Simpsons house, and Homer is in the bathroom getting ready for work. He's spraying deodorant, singing. He says, oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking. But I sent you Ben Gay, oh, Andy. You kissed me and stopped me from something. And I, uh-oh, because he notices.
Lisa is right there.
Yes, watching him. I think he, like, moves the mirror, and she's right there.
And Lisa goes, Dad, why are you singing?
And Homer's internal voice thinking says, tell a lie, tell a lie. Because I have a small role in a Broadway musical. It's not much, but it's a start. And then his thinking voice just goes, bravo. Very not sarcastic.
Impressed. Not impressed at all. And then Lisa goes, are you hiding something from me?
And Homer's like, what?
And Lisa's very observant.
Yes.
She goes, judging from your song, you're infatuated with a woman named Mindy or a man named Danny.
And Homer says, Lisa, look out behind you.
Lisa's a little too old for this. Says,
yeah.
Dad, I'm not going to fall for that.
No, Lisa, I swear to you, I'm 100% completely serious. You got to turn around right now before it's too late.
And Lisa turns around and goes, huh?
Sucker. And he runs away. My goodness.
She saw that coming, though. She saw that coming.
Yes. And so Homer's made a decision at work that he needs to tell Mindy that they should avoid each other, right? And he had written down, I guess, his little speech on his hand. So he's reading his palm, and it says, Mindy, because of our uncontrollable attraction, I think we should avoid each other from now on.
And then as he's doing that, we see Lenny, who's apparently written a different message on his hand, and he's reading it out loud. He's like, Max, what I did... because of alcohol and anger.
And then when another man walks by, he's got a huge head. He's reading off and it says, I am tired of these jokes about my giant hand. The first such incidents occurred in 1956 when... Oh my goodness. He's got a whole novel written on his head.
Yes, that was a huge hand.
Yeah.
So next thing we know, Mindy walks in and says, hi, Homer.
And Homer says, Mindy! And he looks at his hand, it's all smeared. He's like, oh no, I'm sweating like Roger Ebert. And he reads, Murphy, you are a elf, uncontrollably, I think. And we nam yo ho renge kyo. It's like, okay.
Well, this is happening. Yes. We cut to Mr. Burns' office. Mm-hmm. And much like he's doing most of the time, he's observing the workers through the monitors.
Yes.
And he sees Homer and Mindy talking.
Yes.
And Burns goes, look at those two inseparable chums, Smithers. That's exactly the teamwork we'd like to showcase at this year's energy convention.
And Smithers says, are you sure?
And Burns goes, well, no, but everyone else seems to share their same spirit of camaraderie.
And we're looking at the different monitors, and the first one shows two people fighting with chairs. The other one's two people strangling each other. And then my favorite one is there's a dead man on the floor and Stuart the duck is pecking him in the eye.
I told you, Stuart was up to no good.
Dude, Stuart's taking people out at work. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And then
Smithers goes up to them and says, Simmons, you two have been chosen to represent us at the National Energy Convention. Congratulations. You'll be spending two nights together in glamorous Capital City.
And Mindy goes, wow, Capital City, the Windy Apple.
Yes, and Smithers is like, all right, come on, I'll get you the tickets.
And then Homer's like, oh, this is the worst crisis my marriage has ever faced. Colonel Klink, why have you forsaken me?
And then Klink pops out and says, what is it? You have a question?
And Homer goes, did you know Clinch had a radio in your coffee pot?
He did. And then he takes off.
By the way, the whole Windy Apple.
Yeah, Windy City, Big Apple.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a combination of Chicago and New York now. Mm-hmm. But there's only one elementary.
Yeah. There's only one elementary. Mm-hmm. Twice the murder. One elementary.
Yeah. Next thing we know, it is the day of the convention, and Homer is being shown his glamorous hotel room in Capital City Plaza Hotel, which advertises itself as being Legionnaires' disease free since 1990. And we were talking about this before, and you didn't have a...
I was four in 1990.
Yeah, so I'm not sure this happened in 90. But it happened in that general area. There was an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease. I think one of them was like at a VA. Where did they go drink?
Oh, VFW.
VFW, yes. At a VFW. And another one was like at a Knights of Columbus Hall or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. The more you know.
Yep.
And so the bellhop is there. And he's showing Homer to the room, and he says, TV's there, bathroom's there, and there's your king-size bed for...
It was rather well done.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I couldn't tell the difference between you and the bellhop there for a second.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Homer goes, stop that! I love my wife and my family, and I'll be using this bed... for sleeping, eating, and maybe building a little fort.
Can't.
And of course.
Can't blame him.
Yep.
Can't do it. Yep.
Gotta do it.
Mm-hmm. And so Homer goes into the bathroom, and they give him free mouthwash and shampoo, and he even says, free shower curtain! And he rips it from the holders. And Mindy does the same thing.
She goes, free shower curtains! And she tears it off, too. Mm-hmm. They hear each other, and they walk over to the... The door connects both rooms.
Yeah,
and I don't know why what it's doing open. Mm-hmm. It was Mindy open
says,
already.
Yeah, and Mindy says, "Wow, if it wasn't for this wall, I'd be sleeping in the same bed."
And then Homer goes, "Yeah, walls are a necessity in today's society."
And then Mindy says, "Homer, I got a really wicked idea that can get us to a lot of trouble."
Homer goes, "Oh, Mindy, we have to fight our temptation."
And she says, no, Homer, let's do it. Let's call room service.
And then Homer goes, oh.
And then we cut to Mr. Burns' office and a buzzer's going off, right? And Smithers says, sir, someone's charging room service to the company. And Burns says, well, we'll just see about that. And he walks over to a cage full of monkeys with wings. And he says, fly, my pretties. Fly! Of course, like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, a good old Wizard of Oz reference.
And so they all jump out the window and plummet to their death. And Mr. Burns sighs and says, continue the research.
By the way, they have dedicated alert system to let them know when an employee is ordering room service.
Well, remember, as rich as Burns is, he's cheap.
That is true. That is true. So we go back to the hotel room. And Mindy, with a mouthful of food, he goes, I can't believe we ordered so much.
And Homer's like, oh, something's missing. Ooh, one of the turkeys fell behind the bed.
And then both of them together.
They go,
Footlong chili dog.
And very Lady and the Tramp-like, they start eating the chili dog at opposite ends. and they meet in the middle, and their lips meet in the middle, and they stare at one another.
And Homer kind of like has a little crisis of conscience. Mm-hmm. He pushes himself off, and as he's looking at Mindy, the buttons on his shirt all pop open.
Took a bite too much food.
Mm-hmm. And we see Marge's shirt on him.
Yes, the disgusting t-shirt.
Yes.
And then we also hear...
And Homer thinks this is an omen or something. He panics and he yells and he runs out of the room.
And then we find out what the noise was. The bellhop's outside with the floor waxer going...
Yeah. And then we come back to the Simpsons house. Mm-hmm. And Marge's like, good news, honey. 2 weeks are up. You don't have to wear your glasses anymore. And your scalp and your posture seem fine.
And Bart is happy. He yells, yes! And he kicks off his shoes. And they actually fly out the window and into the window of the neighbors, the Flanders. And they fly through the room and break the glass. And Ned says, kids, did anyone pray for giant shoes?
And then Rod goes, I did!
Oakley doakley.
I guess he's not going to question much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So we're back at school then, and Nelson is talking to his fellow bullies, right? He's like, we've been working the upper body. We've been working a lot of upper body on Bart. Today, let's pound his kidneys.
Mm-hmm. And Bart strolls in, looking cool. And Nelson says, let's get... Oh, he looks normal. What gives? And then Jimbo's freaking out. And Bart says, gentlemen, the nerd you knew is dead. Beat me and you will be beating one of your own.
They kind of look at each other and goes, whatever. And they beat the crap out of him anyway.
Yeah, that was a bad line by Bart.
Yep.
Also, Bart has never been one of the bullies.
No, he has not.
No.
He was not a nerd.
Sure, he's a troublemaker. Right.
He was not a nerd. He was a troublemaker, but he was not a bully.
Mm-hmm. And so we cut back to Capital City, and we have a sign that says, Welcome National Energy Convention, as it burns out.
Mm-hmm.
Ironic. And we see all the exhibits there. Cold fusion oil power.
Mm-hmm.
What about wind, coal, and water? And then solar energy. It says, cheap, clean, hope for tomorrow. And our old friend Hans Molman is running that.
So we see a guy with a suit and sunglasses walk up to him. He's like, so this stuff really work?
And Hans says, it certainly does.
So he calls his friends over.
Mm-hmm.
They close down the thing.
Yes.
He says, oh, well, lots of luck. And he kind of gives Hans a chop on the neck, which knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
And
all these other guys appear and they put curtains around the exhibit and they open them again. And that one guy is just sitting behind the desk, and the banner says, fossil fuel, use us and nobody gets hurt.
By the way, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about cars that run on water and stuff like that, and how the oil companies are offering them one by one to make sure that they stay rich and stuff.
Wow.
So in case you're wondering why they're saying that.
Yeah.
It's been a conspiracy for a while.
For a long time, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we cut to Homer and Mindy, and they're at, the nuclear power plant booth. And there's a sign that says, as seen on 60 Minutes.
Usually it's not a good thing when you're on 60 Minutes.
Yeah. And people aren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
Guy walks by and says, thanks for poisoning the planet, bastard.
And Mindy goes, get bent!
And another guy says, no more Chernobyl!
And Homer cuts in, go to hell!
And Homer throws a brick at him. Apparently he was there already.
Yep.
Yep. So, I guess we're having a good time.
Yep.
Homer says to Mindy, you know, I was a little worried about coming to this convention with you, but I think as long as we're not alone together...
And then he gets interrupted by a guy cutting in on the PA system. And he says, now, the moment you've all been waiting for, this year's King Queen of Energy... are Homer Simpson and Mindy Simmons.
And Homer's confused. Everybody's applauding them. They get crowns. And the man says, Homer, Mindy, you've just won a romantic dinner alone at Madame Chow's, the sexiest Chinese restaurant in Capital City.
And then Homer's like, is there a way to get out of this?
No. Very stern. No.
By the way, How high school is this?
Very.
The king and queen of energy?
Yes. And so we cut to Madame Chow's, and Homer and Mindy are finishing their dinner, but they're not eating Chinese food.
Nope.
And Mindy says, "What a perfect evening. It was sure nice of them to make us cheeseburgers."
Homer goes, "Oh, yeah." And he opens up his fortune cookie, mm-hmm. and he reads it, and he's not too happy because it says, "You will find happiness with a new love." And he says, "Ah, even the Chinese are against me. And what's the point? I can't fight fate."
And then we go back to the kitchen, and one of the guys says, "Hey, we're out of these new love cookies." The other guy says, "Well, open up the stick with your wife barrel."
So Homer came this close
to getting a good omen,
to getting the message that he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the hotel, and Homer is not looking happy as they're coming in to the room. He says, "Well, I guess you want to come in."
And he says, "Okay."
And then Homer's like, "Okay." But he's making fun of her.
Yeah.
And they both sit on the bed.
And Mindy says, "This was a really nice night, Homer."
Homer goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he starts to cry.
And Mindy says, "What's wrong?"
"Oh, yeah, like you don't know. We're going to have sex."
And Mindy says, "Oh, well, we don't have to."
And then Homer goes, "Yes, we do. The cookie told me so."
Mindy says, "Well, desserts aren't always right."
"But they're so sweet."
And so Mindy tries to reassure him. She's like, "Homer, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do."
"Well, maybe I want to. But then I think about Marge and the kids." "Well, not the boy. He drives me crazy. Sometimes I just like to..."
Mindy stops him and she says, "Look, Homer, you know how I feel. It's up to you. Look in your heart. I think you'll see what you want."
And then they're kind of move closer, like they were going to give themselves a big kiss. But no, it was a brief little kiss. And Homer seems to have made up his mind. Next thing you know,
we got some music on.
Yep.
We hear some Barry White.
"Can't get enough of your love, babe." Mm-hmm. And we see this rather shapely woman, mm-hmm. standing in front of Homer.
Wearing something very...
frilly.
Yes, frilly. There you go.
And Homer goes, "Oh, baby."
And we hear, "This was a wonderful idea, homie." And she kisses Homer. Marge is there. And then she says, "Hey, there's a turkey behind the bed."
And Homer says, "Marge."
And she starts giggling.
Then Homer starts to sing, "Oh, Margie, you came and you found me a turkey on my vacation away from worky." And then the lights go off.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do we see?
We see a pair of eyes. Well, theirs. And then we see another pair of eyes. And we hear...
And then it ends with Homer socking him in the eye.
You see one eye disappear. It's yep. So good.
And we end the show this way. By the way, I would have done more than punch. Why the hell are you in there room with me and my wife? I'd have choked his ass out and dragged him out.
Knocked him out with the first one, at least. My goodness.
Rather disturbing way to end the show.
Yeah, that was weird. That was creepy.
Yep. But what are your feelings about this particular
episode? It's a great episode. Totally classic episode. I remember seeing this episode a lot as a kid. They would replay it a lot.
This is one of the episodes that I never actually got to see much of for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it every now and then, mm-hmm. like once or twice a year. And every time I saw it, I was like, "Oh, great, this one's on. Yeah. I don't see this enough." But apparently, I was watching it at the wrong time.
Yeah, I guess I just caught it every time because mm-hmm. it was on a lot when I was younger.
I mean, there's so much to like about this episode.
Yes, indeed. This one is... this is one of those that, honestly, for me, it gets as good as it gets. It really does.
The grossness of Homer.
Yes. The writing's good. The jokes are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Homer's moral dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Do I give up this hot young girl and stick with my wife and my family?
Yep.
Which, of course, he does.
Yes. Homer does the right thing.
But
Milhouse realizes he's a nerd.
So am I.
So bad.
What would you rate this episode at?
This is classic. This is 5 out of 5 all day, every day. It even had the chalkboard gag we were missing for a while.
Yep.
You know, the secret nerd society is hilarious.
Oliver! Bring a hard-boiled egg and some prune juice.
It's so good. Just everything at the power plant. Things that burn money fight. Hilarious. Yeah.
Zootroy. As American as apple pie.
Stuart.
Stuart the killer duck.
Yes. It's just such a good episode. It really is.
I would agree with you. This is a solid 5 donut episode for me. I mean, what's not
honestly, this is in my top 10 from The Simpsons. It's in the top 10.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
That good.
What's not to like? It was well written. The gags, the jokes, they're really timed right.
Bart being a nerd is, you know.
I would like to hear more about how they escaped.
Miraculous escape.
Yes. I won't bore you with the details. Yeah, I want to be bored with those details.
Yes, please. Bore me.
So before we sign off for the week, I'd like to remind you all to give our official show Instagram a follow. That's official_Homer's_donuts without the apostrophes. I post memes, original memes mostly. I've been slacking, but hey, we're in the middle of work.
Yes.
We're getting some time off soon. I will get back in the lab and make some more memes for us.
Yes, we will be working on the podcast during the holiday at some point.
So. Yes, at some point we will be. So anything else you'd like to share before we leave?
No, not right now. Just the same old thing. You know, if you know you hear this in time, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, in case we don't have happy another Hanukkah. Episode before there. Yes, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Be safe out there still.
Don't do anything dumb.
Don't do anything dumb. Remember, this is a prime time for getting pulled over during the holidays and stuff. So make sure you're not doing anything you're not supposed to be doing out there.
The cops are looking for you guys. There are. So don't give them a reason.
Remember, they're already upset they're working during the holidays. Yeah. Don't make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Just make their job easier. Stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Drive safe.
Take an Uber if you need to.
Mm-hmm. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.